Tonight's scripture reading will be from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. You may be seated.
Good evening, everybody. It's good to be back again this evening and welcome everybody that might be watching online. As reluctant as I am to be up here, it is a privilege to be up here, and I was very honored and humbled that Wayne had asked me to step in for him, and hopefully this lesson will be one that you can take something away from. Kevin asked me earlier if I wanted the microphone that hooked onto my shirt, and I assured him that I was not going to be leaving the safety of the podium, so I did not need it, okay? So, you know, the longer that you hang out with Wayne, the more you find out about him. And one thing that I found out about him relatively recently, that if you invite him over for dinner, he will ask you to stand in for him when he is out of town. So just heads up, if you have him over for dinner, he may ask you to stand in for him. If you saw in the bulletin this morning, the title of my lesson is Let's Talk Honey. And it's a little bit of an odd title, so I thought I may have to explain a little bit. You see, the original title of my lesson was going to be Honey, Let's Talk. And essentially, it was just going to be up here publicly going over everything that Kelly has done to me the past year. But we would be here all night long, so I decided to change things up. So, let's talk honey. Honey is such a historically significant food that there is evidence in almost all recorded histories of every civilization of its use. In ancient Greek mythology, the food of Zeus was said to have been honey in the form of nectar and ambrosia. In the Hindu religion, honey is one of the five elixirs that sustain life. In Jewish tradition, honey is the symbol for the new year, Rosh Hashanah, to symbolize bringing about a sweet new year. And we read in Exodus chapter 33, verse 3, that the promised land is described as a land flowing with milk and honey to symbolize its richness and its blessings. Honey is a perfect food and one that I enjoy very much. It has many characteristics that make it so. It is sweet. It has the same relative sweetness as table sugar and can be used as a natural sweetener. Records show that ancient Egyptians used honey to sweeten cakes and their bread. Honey is sticky, and this sounds a little odd, but bear with me. The sugar content in the honey makes it adhere to any surface. It makes it not quite a liquid and not quite a solid, which to me makes it very pleasing to the palate. It gives what you may call a good mouth feel when you're eating it. If you get honey on your finger, it is almost impossible to wash it off. Honey never goes bad. Most microorganisms do not grow in honey, so if it is sealed, it will never spoil. And honey also has healing properties. For centuries, it has been used to heal wounds and burns and coughs. So where am I going with all this talk of honey? Well, let's go back to the text that was just read, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Here Solomon makes a perfect analogy of encouraging words to honey, or the honeycomb where honey is stored. He basically summed up all of its qualities in that one verse. He knew that this analogy would resonate with the ancient people because of the usefulness and availability of honey as a food. Words like honey are sweet to the soul and healthy to the bones. Who does not like to receive an encouraging word? When a kind word is spoken to you, it is very, very valuable to your life. Knowing that somebody will stand by your side and help you brings value to your soul. As an example, we just ended a time of the year when we all receive greeting cards in the mail. It is normal and almost expected in the month of December. It's very exciting to get a new card each day and to see who that card is from, what pictures are on it, what words are written on that card. But how excited do you get when it's mid-July and it's 105 degrees outside and there's nothing going on and you see in your mail a random greeting card from a friend or a neighbor? It's very encouraging and uplifting to get that random card in the mail. Small words of encouragement go a long way to sweeten the soul and to heal the bones. So let's look at what else Proverbs has to say on the matter. If you look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, it reads, Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it, the heart, glad. If you flip over to chapter 25 of Proverbs, Proverbs 25, verse 11, it reads, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." Now, who doesn't like apples and gold and silver? And that's another lesson. We're talking about honey. We know from Scripture that the Lord will bless those who overcome and are faithful until the end. In fact, the whole book of Hebrews is designed to help Christians overcome, and in that book, we are given instructions to exhort or encourage one another, to aid each other in remaining faithful, and to overcome so we can all receive those blessings. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 reads, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin." Exhort or encourage each other daily is the command here. We need this encouragement to help us overcome. In our world as Christians, we are in the minority with temptation around us all the time. And we may find ourselves in settings where we may be the only Christian in the population that's around us. We are so much stronger against that temptation in our daily lives when we have the backing and the encouragement of our Christian brothers and sisters. This goes a long way in our working to overcome. In the early days of the church in Jerusalem, we read of a man named Barnabas, whose name was the Son of Encouragement. Now, if you were in Wayne's class this past Wednesday night, in my opinion, he spent way too much time talking about Barnabas, and I was wishing in my mind that he would move on because I was afraid he was going to spoil my lesson. But we're going to talk about this Son of Encouragement for a little bit. In Acts chapter 4, Barnabas sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money to the apostles so they could take care of the needy Christians in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, we read of Barnabas coming to Paul's side when Paul became a Christian and the church refused Paul in Jerusalem because of his history as a persecutor of the church. But Barnabas came to his aid and told the apostles of how Paul was boldly preaching the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 15, we read when John Mark had left Paul at Paul's behest and Barnabas during their first missionary journey, Barnabas encouraged John Mark and he had him come with them on their second journey and he continued to teach him, taking John Mark with him to Cyprus. This type of encouragement is what God called for us to have for one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 tells us that, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing." As we seek to exhort one another, we should do all that we can to avoid things that discourage one another. So many people have the gift of discouragement, that whenever they speak, it is always something negative. If you'll turn with me to the book of Job, Job chapter 16, we read of Job himself needing encouragement, but his friends did not help him, and Job even called his friends miserable comforters. If we start in verse 1 of chapter 16, I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job." I'm on Job 1. Job chapter 16, starting in verse 1. "Then Job answered and said, 'I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. Shall words of wind have an end? Or what provokes you that you answer? I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my soul's place, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips would relieve your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not relieved. And if I remain silent, how am I eased? But now he has worn me out. You have made desolate all my company.'" Clearly, Job needed their help, but they gave him nothing. And if you go over to verse 20, you read, Job says, "My friends scorn me. My eyes pour out tears to God." We do not need to be those miserable comforters of friends that Job had. We need to have a spirit of encouragement. When one has a spirit of discouragement, hope and joy are dashed away. We looked at Barnabas earlier as one example of encouragement, but now let's look at the ultimate example of everything in our lives, and that's Christ. We never see Christ discouraging others. When he speaks with the Samaritan woman at the well, she has a sinful mess of a life, but Christ encouraged her spirituality and he encouraged her faith. If you consider the woman who was caught in adultery that the leaders are ready to stone, Christ comforts her. Turn over to John chapter 8 and starting in verse 7. John 8, starting in verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "Who is without sin among you? Let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up, he saw no one but the woman, and he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And then Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you, and go and sin no more." He gave her encouragement. If we look at the sinful woman who enters the Pharisee's house in Luke chapter 7, and she weeps over the feet of Jesus, this woman was a sinful woman, and the Pharisee wanted her out of his house. But Jesus tells her in verse 50 of Luke chapter 7, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Christ always brought others in need to him and gave them comfort and encouragement. We all need this in our lives. Now, this does not mean that there is no place or no need for rebuke, but that's not the only tool that God has given to us. We always need to start with encouragement. In the letters to the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation, five of those letters contain strong rebukes. In those letters, there was a loveless church, there was a compromising church, a corrupt church, a dead church, and a lukewarm church, all of which deserved strong rebuke. However, every one of those letters, except the one to the Laodiceans, which was the lukewarm church, all began with a commendation of some kind, and they all ended with encouragement. In the context, these people in these churches were about to face serious persecution and trials, and their future was going to be very difficult, and they were going to be very tempted to disavow Christ for their own safety and their own livelihoods and their own lives. However, Christ continually encouraged them by saying, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Revelation 2, verse 7. That was the end of the letter to the Ephesians, but the other letters ended similarly. Overcome and be victorious is the message here. If you will turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 22. Hebrews 10, 22. "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching." Oftentimes we see this passage being used as a rebuke for forsaking the assembly. And that is important. Forsaking the assembly should be a rebukeful act. But at its core, this passage is a passage of exhortation for one another and the importance of being together and why you should not forsake the assembly. Notice a few things that we need to be encouraged to do when we come together according to this passage. Number one, we need to be encouraged to draw near to God in full assurance of faith. Verse 22, we need to be encouraged in the faith. This is a consistent message throughout the New Testament. If you'll hold your place there in Hebrews, we'll come back to it. But if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22, We're going to read about Paul and Barnabas again. Acts 14, 21 and 22. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." Paul and Barnabas encouraged these disciples to continue in the faith. There would be many tribulations for them to face. We can't always assume that we are all strong in the faith and we are all doing well in the faith. We must strengthen one another, assuming that we need that help. Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, that he longed to be with the brethren there so that they could mutually encourage each other in the faith. Paul wanted to encourage them, but he himself wanted them to encourage him. Paul admitted that he needed that encouragement. If you go back to the passage in Hebrews, the second thing that we notice the Hebrew writer says is that we need to hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Verse 23, we need to encourage each other in the hope that we have in Christ. The third thing that we notice from that passage is that we must consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Verse 24. And what does he mean by consider here in this passage? He means to really think about it, to reflect and meditate on it. How can I help you grow in love and good works? How can you help me grow in love and good works? So the point of this passage in Hebrews is not simply don't forsake the assembly, although that is important, but we need to be together so that we can do the things that the writer says for each other. The church atmosphere should be when we come in those doors, we are ready to give encouragement in faith and hope and love to others and be ready ourselves to receive the same towards us. As we seek to encourage one another, what are some of the ways that we can go about doing so? Well, those who are older in the congregation can encourage the young, just as Moses encouraged Joshua in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 7 and 8. It reads, Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8, "Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, 'Be strong and of good courage, for you must go without this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed.'" Moses strengthened Joshua by encouragement and by assuring him that the Lord was with him. You can also let somebody know that you are praying for them, just as the Lord told Simon in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. And it reads, "And the Lord said, 'Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren.'" This was not a boastful message from the Lord, nor it should be a boastful message from us when we tell others that we are praying for them. We do not let others know that we are praying them to make ourselves feel better, but to lift them up and to strengthen them. We can encourage others through good deeds, like Dorcas in Acts chapter 9 and verse 36, that says she was full of good works and charitable deeds. We should strive to be the same. And we can encourage others through writings like cards and letters and texts. So when we think about that, the question is, who needs this encouragement? Well, the simple answer is everybody. We all benefit from it. You know, even here in our congregations, sometimes we can get into the habit of sitting in the same place and talking to the same people at each service. Now, I'm standing behind this podium, so you can't see me stepping on my own toes when I'm saying this, but we can go weeks without talking to some of our church family just because they sit across the way. There may be some here that worship service, for whatever reason, may be their only social interaction for the week. We need to seek each other out and give a kind word to each other to lift each other up and encourage each one. Those that haven't been able to come to services or those that choose not to come, we can send cards or texts just to let them know that they are not forgotten. We have many that are going through serious health issues or may be out of work, financial struggles, or whatever reason. Reaching out to see what they need may be all that they need, just to know that we are here for them. We need to encourage our elders and deacons in the church. Sometimes their works go unnoticed. but they all have a heavy job. They need to be encouraged regularly, especially during difficult times like we've had in this past year, to let them know that we appreciate the work that they're doing for us. Our preachers, those that minister the word to others, they work doubly. And sometimes it can be a thankless job because we may take it for granted that they will always be there and the work will always be done. We need to make it a priority to let them know how appreciated they are. The women of the congregation, their work is behind the scenes, and we may not know how much work they put in, but they need to know that they are appreciated. The youth as well, like we talked about with Moses and Joshua, the youth is the future of the church. They need to know that those that are older are here to help and guide them, just like Moses did for Joshua. New converts in Christ, if you can think about the time when you were baptized and you became a child of God, the zeal and the passion that you had in your heart, we need to continually encourage new converts so that that zeal stays with them and they grow in the faith. And non-Christians, those that are not members of the church, especially need encouragement. Sometimes a simple kind word is enough to get the conversation started, and who knows what can be accomplished from that. So let's go back and talk about honey again. How can we make our words of encouragement like honey? Number one, we can make them sweet like honey. Sweet words will go a long way to encourage others. As the old saying says, you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. You make them sticky like honey. Words that are sticky will stay with those who receive them for a long time, and they will be remembered. You make your words so that they never go bad like honey. Try to always be positive. Negativity breeds negativity. And make your words healing like honey. We never know what someone is going through in their life and how they may be hurting. Healing words will go a long way to brighten spirits and help them through. Remember the text that said, pleasant words are sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And what if you're the one that is in need of that honey? You should never be afraid to ask for it. We all need it, some more than others. And sometimes people don't want to get specific in why they need prayers and why they need encouragement, and that's fine. We are a family, and it is not our place to speculate on what may be going on in your life. But it is our job, as we are commanded, to love, to encourage, and to pray for you. Again, speaking of Barnabas, that son of encouragement, in Acts chapter 11 and verse 23, it reads, when he came and he had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. This is the goal of encouragement, to continue with the Lord, to overcome so we can all eat of that tree of life that is in the midst of paradise of God. But we need each other to help make that happen. So if there's anyone who may need encouragement or prayers, don't hesitate. Your family is here for you. And if there's any need, please come forward as we stand and sing.
The voice of the Savior says, come.